Bless you. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I just want to begin by making it very clear. My name is Mike. And for all I'm referred to as the National Chairman of the Christian Motorcyclists Association, my name is Mike and I'm a follower of Jesus. And I'm here today because God has prompted me to come, and also because I want to encourage you. And the only way I can encourage you is in God's Word. And your job today is to receive God's Word, as is the case for me, and then we live it on a daily basis in whatever circumstance God places before us. We're not going to focus on the coronavirus. We're going to focus on the Lord and His Word, so that we can walk, not in fear, but in love for the community that is in hopelessness. Because we need to bring them to the throne of grace. We're going to put some scripture up on the screen, if we may. Thank you very much. And whenever I do this in a church, I've done this for a long time now, anything that is in capital letters is yours. So I want, as I read through this, I want you to belt those words out. Because if you say them out loud and from your heart, you will obey them much better, because then you're more conscious of what God's word is saying. Rather me just read them to you. So if you don't do it right, I'm going to start again. So let's do it well right from the beginning. It says this, Romans 12, we're going to start with 1 to 2, then drop down to 9 to 13. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says this, therefore, just capital letters, you guys. I'm the ones that do that. Don't take my part. Here we go. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, isn't this an exciting statement? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we're going down to this love in action section here. It says this, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And be devoted to one another in love. That's the key verse today that we're going to look at. But honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. That's the intense emotion and strong desire of what God has placed in your heart. Never, I'll just repeat that one, never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor, your passion. Keep that passion going, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, as we are, but patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, but that's extended to the community as well, and practice hospitality. It's so important. Let me begin by showing you that we have to enable what we do to be in a right place. We have to ensure that our value system, because God has transformed our minds, our value system is in accordance with His Word. We have to live in that way and we have to proclaim it. I heard a story recently of a man who reported his wife missing to the police. He was distraught. And the police said to her, we'll take the details of your wife in an effort to find her. How tall is she? And he said, I'm not sure. She's a little over 5 feet tall anyway. And the policeman said, so how much does she weigh? And he said, I don't know. She's not slim, but she's not really fat. Colour of eyes? Sort of brown, I think. Never really noticed, actually. Colour of hair? Well, it changes a couple of times of the year, maybe brown now, I'm not sure, I can't remember. And he's beginning to panic. And then the police says, so what was she wearing? And he said, well, it could have been pants, skirt, shorts. I don't know, I didn't really pay any attention. So what kind of car has she gone in then, the police said in exasperation. So which the man says, well, actually, she went on my dirt bike. So what kind of bike was it, he said. By now, the husband's sobbing. He's just so distraught. To which he then answers, it's a 2019 Kawasaki KX450. It's in lime green with a liquid-cooled four-stroke engine. Compression ratio of 12.5 to 1. Double overhead cam 4 valve, forced lubrication, semi-drive sump. The fuel capacity is 6.2 litres. I've just put new tyres on it and I just cleaned it as well before she took it. By this time, he is crying uncontrollably, to which the police sergeant says, "Don't worry, sir, we'll find your bike." Now, that's fun and I like it, but listen, there's a really good point about this. Sometimes we get the love aspect of our lives, certainly in the way in which we deal with those who are lost, in a completely wrong perspective. Husbands, do we truly love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for them? Or do we love our wives in a similar way to this guy? That there are other aspects in our lives that are more important to us, and we don't treasure the blessings that God has given us in our lives. I'm so sorry my wife Sandy couldn't be here today. She was to be here for the whole weekend as we were training with CMA yesterday, and just encouraging people. I love being around my wife, and I love my wife being next to me. We have the joy of going to many places in the world and sharing God's, just the love of God in a practical and effective way. But I am to love my wife. I am to love the people in the body of Christ. And I and you are to love the people of the outside of the body of Christ who do not know this love that we share. You know, there used to be a film back in the day that I used to love. I think it was about 1964, which shows I am so old now. It was called Robinson Crusoe. When I was a young kid and that came on, I desperately wanted to live on that desert island. I've always been a man of adventure, and before I became a Christian, I was always a man who wanted to live in isolation, because I wanted to live in a cabin on the Yukon in Alaska, just do crazy things all by myself and not have anybody to be answerable to. And I remember on the Robinson Crusoe film there, it used to have, I don't know if you remember it, it had like, the character of Robinson Crusoe did like a commentary at certain times during the program. He'd been shipwrecked on a desert island. And it was an idyllic place, beautiful sunshine, blue sky and everything else. But when Robinson Crusoe got to terms with this isolation, he wrote this and said this in the film. "I'm cast upon a horrible desert land, void of any hope of recovery, separated from all the world to be miserable. And I have no soul to speak to or to relieve me of this loneliness." See, I wanted to be isolated, but when I got saved, that was the last thing on my mind, because I wanted to be integrated in the community so that the people could get to hear of this love I had experienced in Jesus Christ. Many people, even Christians, still dream of desert islands, but actually God wants us to live in a place of fellowship. He's wired us to live in a community, and he's wired us to love in a community. And if we do it, we can do it well and be effective. Let me go on to the next slide, if I may. I'm not very good with technology. I tend to go the wrong way, which I just did. I'll go forward again. And the next one. Here we go. There are some very clear instructions in Scripture that help us along to ensure that what we do well. Did you know, it may be a surprise to some of you, that Christians can sometimes be grumpy, tired, stressed, sad, depressed, ill, or as now, even scared. And we are to live together in that place and love together in that place so that we can hold each other up. God gives us these clear instructions, and there are many key pivotal ones. I'm going to just pick on a few today. The first one is to live in harmony with one another. 1 Peter 3:8. We're all different. I'm so glad you're not like me, and I'm so glad actually I'm not like you. There are things in my life I have been experiencing right from birth, and God has attuned those for me to use in his service now. But we need to be so conscious of each other. We have some great musicians here. In fact, in CMA, we've just had a lady who joined last year, and in the first conversation I had with her, she said, does anybody in CMA play any musical instruments? And I said, well, yeah, do you? And she said, yeah, I play the flute. And she was so humble and timid about telling us. And so I said, well, you know, do you play regularly? She said, yeah, I've played in Buckingham Palace, Albert Hall. I'm involved in worship with big bands and all sorts of people. She wasn't saying it by way of any kind of boast. But it occurred to me, with our great friend who practices hours and hours and hours a day, Emmanuel, you need to listen to her when she worships. She never has music in front of her because it comes from her soul. She, to be part of an orchestra or a worship band, has to practice individually, but then they have to practice together to get the harmony that they are to have to be in that perfect place of pitch of music. But we're the same. We all have different backgrounds, different generations, different callings, different sense of what is good, what is right, and all that kind of thing. And we are to live in a perfect place of harmony. Because as we do that, we will build each other up and we will love each other devotedly. We can do that within the differences of who we are because God has wired us that way. Because God calls us to live that way. Note this, He calls us and enables us to love that way. There is not one person that will walk into your church that you could never reject or should never reject. But also, everybody who comes into your church, you should be able to love to that place of grace. And note that every command of God is a complete opposite to the world's values and thoughts. Well, I was saying with Alan yesterday when we were chatting that one of the phrases Christians should never use, but yet I hear it so often, is I don't suffer fools gladly. It's not a biblical principle, but God wants us to be patient with each other, taking time, bearing with each other in love, Ephesians 4:2. We've got to take time in ourselves and those around us for them to grow in grace, and we need to walk with them through those periods. I love the Minions. Don't know if you know about the Minions, but in the New Testament, there are 59 verses, that include the phrase one another. But every one of those one another verses has the common thread of God's love and instructions for how we should be. And the whole Bible is balanced on this wonderful love of God for fallen humanity and Him sending us a rescue package for all who repent. John 13:34 says that Jesus said, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment to love each other as I have loved you." There couldn't be anything much more important than that. Your love for one another, He says, will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Christ died for all, so therefore surely all of us within the body of Christ should be able to love one another. Our opinion, our culture, our upbringing, nothing like that should ever get in the way of us being able to love one another. And those 59 one another verses, a third of the 59 are about the church getting along together. It doesn't just happen, we have to work hard at it. We are to live in harmony, stop judging and forgiving one another. A third about them of those 59 verses are about Christians loving one another. And it's not about liking one another, but loving one another. And not just those people that you think are attractive or deserve it. I love it when God puts in our way people who are just, in a world sense, so unlovable, so that we as Christians can do what God wants us to do and love them to a degree that we've never maybe even experienced ourselves. And seven of those one another verses are about people being humble and submitting to one another. Philippians 2:3 says, "In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ and carry each other's burdens." Because of this pandemic that's taking place, there are a lot of people who have absolutely no hope at all. There are a lot of people in the world, as I was at one time, who never experienced true love at any time before I became a Christian. I remember after I got saved, I was encouraged first to go to Keswick Convention. Keswick for me was about climbing mountains and rock climbing. That's the sort of thing I did all the time. But when I went to Keswick Convention for the first time as a Christian, I remember walking down the main street where all the missionary stalls used to be to go up to the then building and the tent. And tears started to roll down my face because I realized I was loved by the body of Christ, the family of God. I'd never experienced love like it before. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I was humbled by the love that people had for me, and I began to realize that that was a love I had to share with everyone else. The rest of these 59 one another verses are about encouraging, caring, prayer, and hospitality. People forget often how important hospitality is as a gift to the body of Christ, and also by way of outreach. John 13, come back to that passage again. Jesus said, "My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, but where I'm going, you cannot come." But then he said, "Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples." He's saying, follow my example. You can't do it alone. You don't have that capacity. But through me and the Holy Spirit, you can. My love will flow through you to one another, and the world will sit up and look. They won't see us, they will see Jesus. But Peter, who was there at the time, got this completely wrong. And it's so easy for us sometimes to do that. When he was listening, he heard more Jesus speaking about where I'm going, you cannot come, rather than the love bit. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. And he said to Jesus, "Why can't I come now, Lord? I'm ready to die for you." Jesus answered him, "Die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny three times that you even know me." And what Jesus was saying to Peter, in effect, is, "You're not ready to die for me until you can love like me." Peter, love is my priority for you and for the church. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another will prove that I exist, that you trust me, and that people outside of the body of Christ can trust me too. And isn't it interesting that when Jesus reinstated Peter on the beach as they had a barbecue after he denied him, he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Because it was so pivotal in the heart of Peter to be used by God. And of course, as we know, love is a decision on both sides. A marriage will never work if only one loves and one doesn't. And in marriage and in the church, it's interesting, isn't it, that the church is called the bride of Christ. So this command is for us all. If we love each other completely, unreservedly, and enthusiastically. Could somebody just move that on to the next slide? It doesn't seem to be working for some time. Thanks. See, if we love each other and the world completely, the people in the world, unreservedly and enthusiastically, the world will stop. And they will notice Jesus, not us. We had a European rally last August in the UK. We were hosting it. 350 Christian bikers from all over the UK, all over Europe, came. And in amongst all that group was the lady with her flute and her son, who was Blake, who was 14 years old. And Blake's a lovely lad, but when he came, he actually admitted, which I thought was very brave of him, "I'm not here for the Jesus bit. I just like bikes and I like camping." And he sat outside his tent with a whittling knife and a piece of wood, and we just loved him. And every time we had a meeting, I would say to him, "Come on, we've reserved a seat for you. Just come anyway." And eventually he did. We didn't tell him in advance that the seat we saved for him was right up front, because we wanted him to see what was happening. We wanted to hear the worship, wanted to hear the testimonies, the prayers, and the word of God Thank you. And within a very short space of time, without any encouragement, Blake started coming to the meetings. By the end of that weekend, Blake said, I have never experienced love like this before. People were just loving, as the Bible was informing us to do, but they weren't conscious of what was happening in Blake's heart. And then he gave his heart to Christ. 2 weeks later, I was invited to preach at his baptism. He now goes regularly to church every week with his mum. He comes to CMA every time, and my wife and I organised a Christmas party, as we always do, for the CMA in that area where we live, not far from Whitby, and 48 people turned up. And during that particular Christmas dinner, some people stood up and said, Blake, we want to love you more, and bought him a motorcycle, because his greatest dream now, because of being loved by CMA, and then obviously realizing the love Christ had for him, his greatest desire is to share that love as a 14-year-old with other people interested in motorcycling. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. We need to use this strategy so much more. We seem to have all these other alternative plans, don't we? But it's all about loving people like they've never been loved before, unconditionally. David Wilkerson, who wrote The Cross and the Switchblade book, I don't know if you've ever read it. When I was a kid of about 14, when I got interested in motorcycles, I wasn't a Christian, I went into a church, and I actually stole that book, took it home and read it, and it meant so much to me, I held on to it. When I became a police officer in later life, and then became a Christian, I decided I'd take the book back to the church. I did it very sneakily, but left it in the back where I got it from. Tremendous book if you've never read it. But David Wilkinson, who just went to a place of where everybody was unlovable, he loved them. He even gave his shoes away on the first day he got there. And just a brief statement he made was this: love is not something you feel for someone, it's something you do. And the impact the love of Christ through David Wilkinson made a massive change. As we love one another, we'll find it easier to love those who are beyond the church walls. The Bible says that the Bible has four different styles of love. The first is storge, which is love for a relation. Philia, which is love for a friend. Eros, romantic love. And of course, 1 Corinthians 13 is agape love. It's God's love for you and I, which is unconditional love. And I absolutely rejoice that in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells me again and again, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, which is such a priority, but I don't have love, then I'm just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, but if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. This is God emphasizing to us how important it is that when we love and love and love. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Then just join with me, if you will, in this last portion of scripture here that says this. Love is patient. You know, we need to be slow to repay. When people are unpleasant to us or punish those who offend. Patient love is often used to describe God. In 2 Peter 3:9 it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Love is kind. React kindly towards those who are broken, those in your street, those in your neighbour. Find out if you know your neighbour's, don't know your neighbour's name, find out what it is. Go around, offer help, support at this time. We need to be standing up. Yesterday I briefly spoke to the group of CMA to say, are we contagious? I don't mean with coronavirus, I mean, are we contagious with the love of God? Do people realise we're even a Christian? See, love is kind, to react kindly to those who are broken and need guidance. Love does not envy. It rejoices when others are blessed and does not allow jealousy to take root. Love does not boast. If you want to boast, Paul says, boast only about the Lord. Why would we boast about ourselves? There's nothing good in us. Love is not proud. Even Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Love does not dishonor others. Love will not steal someone else's glory. Love is not self-seeking. It places God first in our lives, above our own ambitions. And this love does not insist on getting its own way. Love is not easily angered. When somebody offends us, our immediate reaction reveals our heart. I will never forget when that was impacted on me after I became a Christian. Before I was a Christian, I was a man who couldn't stop swearing. I had a dreadful anger. I was a police officer and I was in a place of authority with no authority in my life. When I became a Christian, things changed dramatically by grace. And only a few months after I got saved, I was jailer for a very violent prisoner who was in one of these cells. You've seen it on the bill where you got the hatch on the door. And I went down and I had a full cooked breakfast for this guy on a plastic plate that I had to give to him through the door. And I was praying for him because I was a Christian now. But as I put this plate of cooked breakfast through the door, he turned around. He was so full of hatred for policemen. He kicked the plate. Perfect kick. Came straight back through like a Collins early morning breakfast. Through this door, hit me and covered me with beans, sausage, egg and bacon. Now the old me would have ripped the door off the hinges because I would have been so out of control. But my instant prayer was, Lord, help me. Because I knew that behind me were all my colleagues in the office who knew that something had happened to me. And they wanted to know if it was real. Because it's only if it's real for me will it give them hope. And as I stood there, honestly, it was like a moment in Star Trek when the captain says, beam us up, Scotty. You know where it all goes? And I was full of the peace of God rather than the anger of man. And I went, yes, because God's done something in me. And I changed and my sergeant ran through because he saw what had happened. He brought the keys for the cell because he wanted to hit this guy. How dare this man deal with me? And I just said, I'm fine. And I started to smile. And I dripped beans all the way back to the gents to go and get cleaned up and put a new uniform. And it did not matter anymore. Love changes us, but also proclaims the truth of Christ to the world at large. So when somebody offends you, don't be easily angered. Just to finish this off very quickly, love keeps no record of wrongs. Why would we if we're only going to hold it against someone? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus is truth, and in him is no darkness at all. Love always protects. It warns others when they're going astray and shields them from danger. Love always trusts. Give the benefit of the doubt and look for the best in others. Love always hopes because God is always faithful. We need to just tell that to people who are frightened about this thing going on in the world. Love always hopes because God is always faithful. Love always perseveres. And together we can endure even through the most difficult trials. And finally, love never fails. Let me say that again. God's love never fails. His love goes beyond the boundaries of ordinary love. It's eternal, divine, and will never cease. I want to just declare a joy for me. When I was here earlier, I went into the prayer meeting, and as I was sitting and praying, a migraine started to take over my vision. And I felt oppressed by this migraine. And I went to the back and I said, Lord, do not let the enemy take this away from me. I've been a little distracted when I was speaking to you, but I was able to see the words on the page and I was able to see it on the screen. God's love for us just comes into us in a way that is so different from the world. I work amongst, and CMA works amongst, people who have no hope whatsoever. That's why the shelves are cleared of all the stuff that you're bewildered why people will buy. And we need to go to them and love them unconditionally and love them patiently and understandingly so that they may know this incredible Saviour that we love today. Alan's going to come up with a band now. They're going to play a song and we're going to have this collection that has been mentioned. One of our mission partners with CMA is World Horizons. It's a fabulous mission base down in South Wales, but they work majority of the time. They are prayerful. It's a prayer-based mission, should I say, all around the world. And we have organized and promised to them that we will give very sacrificially every year to provide motorcycles for all their missionaries around the world. And in the last 10 years, I think it is now, we've provided them with over 30 motorcycles. For pastors who would normally maybe walk 30 miles between the churches in isolated locations, men and women who ride these bikes. Now, we're going to have this collection. There's no force upon it. God loves a cheerful giver. And I would just encourage you, whether you've come prepared for it or not, if you would like to give, we would just be so overjoyed to be able to know that this funding is going for a practical item that can help people to spread the word of God in areas where many people are persecuted. If for some reason you aren't prepared today, please speak to anybody in the church or folks from CMA and pass on your gifts, because that can always be done in the future. Thank you, everybody. God bless you.